te Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're getting to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 34.
Namah Pankajanabhaya Bhuta Sukshmindriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Bhutastaya Sarochishe Namah Pankajanabhaya Bhuta Sukshmindriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Bhutastaya Sarochishe Namaha Pankajanabhaya Bhuta Sukshmindriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Bhutastaya Sarochishe Namaha Pankajanabhaya Bhuta Sukshmindriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Bhutastaya Sarochishe
Namaha. All obeisances unto you.
Pankajanabhaya.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From whose navel the lotus flower emanates.
Bhuta Sukshma.
The sense objects.
Indriya,
the senses.
Yes.
Atmane, the origin.
Vasudevaya,
unto Lord Vasudev.
Shantaya,
always peaceful.
Bhutastaya,
without being changed.
Sarochishe,
unto the Supreme Illumination.
Translation.
My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects. And you're also the all-pervading Vasudev. You are most peaceful, and because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformations. Please repeat, my Lord.
My Lord.
You are the origin of the creation. By virtue of the lotus flower, which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects. And you are also the all-pervading Vasudev. You are most peaceful, and because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformations. Report by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, as Garbhodakshai Vishnu, lies in the ocean of Garbha within this universe, and from His navel the lotus flower sprouts. Lord Brahma is generated from that lotus flower, and from Lord Brahma the creation of this material world begins. As such, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, is the origin of the material senses and sense objects. Since Lord Shiva considers Himself to be one of the products of this material world, His senses are under the control of the Supreme Creator. The Supreme Lord is also known as Rishikesh, the master of the senses, which indicates that our senses and sense objects are formed by the Supreme Lord. As such, He can control our senses and, out of His mercy, engage them in the service of the master of the senses. In the conditioned state, the living entity struggles in this material world and engages his senses for material satisfaction. However, if the living entity is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can engage these very senses in the service of the Lord. Lord Shiva desires not to be misled by the material senses, but to engage always in the service of the Lord without being subject to contamination by materialistic influences. By the grace and help of Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, one can engage his senses in devotional service without deviation, just as the Lord acts without deviation. The words shantaya, kutastaya, sarojase are very significant. Although the Lord is within this material world, He's not disturbed by the waves of material existence. However, conditioned souls are agitated by six kinds of transformations. Namely, they become agitated when they're hungry, when they are thirsty, when they are aggrieved, when they are illusioned, when they grow old, and when they are on the deathbed. Although conditioned souls become very easily illusioned by these conditions in the material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Super Soul, Vasudeva, is never agitated by these transformations. Therefore it is said here, Kuptastaya, that He is always peaceful and devoid of agitation because of His prowess, which is described here in His Swarujishe, indicating that He is illuminated by His own transcendental position. In other words, the individual soul, although within the illumination of the Supreme, sometimes falls down from that illumination because of his tiny position. And when he falls down, he enters into material conditioned life. The Lord, however, is not subject to such conditioning. Therefore, He is described as self-illuminated. Consequently, any conditioned soul within this material universe can remain completely perfect when he's under the protection of Vasudeva or when he is engaged in devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnana Tivarandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapandikam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Dushatarane Pancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama My name is Rajendra Nandana Das, a very insignificant disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Those of you who do know me know This is the time when I take the opportunity to ask for the benefit of those who are watching, our friends, our family, our extended family members in ISKCON that aren't here in the Dom. Could we send them our best wishes and blessings with the Maha Mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrindake. So, I have an admission to make. I am very fallen, very unfortunate and unqualified. And worst of all, I'm a pretender. I'm going to be running away from the Dom tomorrow before I'm found out, if I haven't already been detected, before you chase me away, before you realize that's a purple painted jackal sitting up there. What's he doing there? But despite all my disqualifications, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers are very merciful. And if you would kindly say even just a one-line prayer to Guru and Gauranga, that I might be able to please you by being a messenger who doesn't get in the way of the transcendental message, maybe there can be some benefit in you hearing what I will try to speak. Please be kind upon me. So, it starts out with describing the Lord as the origin of the creation. Everything within this material world, the senses, sense objects, etc. I'm going to share some nectar with you that Kishore Prabhu shared with me yesterday. After a class in Edinburgh, I hope you don't mind. This is how it retains in my cow dung-like brain, and it's also passing on the nectar. Srila Prabhupada gave a class, and then he said, "This is our philosophy. Are there any questions?" And in the audience were members of the Divine Light Mission. And somebody asked, "Why does God have to be philosophy?" Bit of a challenge. Why does God have to be philosophy? And Srila Prabhupada responded, "Krishna is God. God is great. Philosophy tells or explains how great God is. What do you want me to do? Give you fairy stories?" So we are hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the most authoritative source of transcendental knowledge. I've said, I've heard other devotees say, you have to have faith in somebody or something. It may be in the material scientists that say this is all chaos, it's all by chance, there's no purpose to it. You may be so foolish to have your faith in the cheaters. We say, why not put your faith in the most sublime personality, Krishna, who is the cause, the origin, who really cares for us. He's creeping up Vatsala, the deliverer, the friend of the fallen souls. See what a difference it will make in your life. Faith somewhere. But I've heard Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne when somebody was saying, "Oh, it's just faith on your part." Prabhupada said, "No. We accept authority. The Vedas are authority. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the cream of the Vedas. It is the topmost authority. We accept it as it is, handed down in the disciplic succession, unchanged from the very breathing or lips of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Vedaishcha sarvara hameva veja vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas. And what are the purpose of this transcendental literature? I am to be known by the Vedas." So we accept this in toto. Submissively, we accept. And our lives, our knowledge becomes perfect. It's stating here that Hare Krishna, Lord Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, is lying in the bottom half of this universe on the Garbha ocean. And from his navel sprouts a lotus flower. And Lord Brahma, the secondary creator, the, what would you call him, construction manager, he assembles the building blocks of this material nature that Krishna has created and creates the bodies in which you and I, tiny little spirit souls, can inhabit and try our best to enjoy separately from the Supreme Lord. Garbo Dakshai Vishnu doesn't require the help of Lakshmi, who is right there massaging his lotus feet on his own, independent. The lotus grows from his navel, and Lord Brahma is born. Now, you might take that as pretty far-fetched. But when we say God is great, we mean God is inconceivable. With our tiny brains, we cannot comprehend that which is unlimited. He who is unlimited. Impossible. Our brains are like trash compactors. Our garbage disposals. We try to take the absolute truth and compress it into some tiny little fragment that we can understand and control. Or we try to be the garbage disposal, slicing it all up, taking what we want from here, take there, blah, 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 and this, we think we understand the infinite. It's impossible. Unless the Supreme reveals himself, we'll never understand a thing about him. At best, with our mind and intelligence, materially contaminated, conditioned mind and intelligence, we're going to try and conceive what is supreme beyond this material world of qualities, names, forms, activities, and we will come up with something void or impersonal, devoid of form, qualities, consciousness, activities, etc. Simply nothing or impersonal being. Krishna is so far beyond that. He is so infinitely wonderful. If you think Garbo Dakshai Vishnu is far out with the lotus in his navel and Brahma from the navel, Garbo Dakshai Vishnu is an expansion of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is so unlimitedly big that this universe and countless other material universes come out of the pores of his skin as he lies in mystic slumber and exhales. And for the duration of the exhalation, all the universes come out of his transcendental spiritual body, this being the littlest of all the innumerable material universes. I mean, this is inconceivable. You can't think this stuff up. What to speak of comprehend it with your tiny brain. And Mahavishnu is just an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Same one supreme person. But Krishna truly is infinitely great. It behooves us to recognize that by hearing from Shastra, hearing from those who have heard from Guru who has realized Shastra and repeating that message. Then our knowledge can be perfect. The Vedas are like an instruction manual. In America, the male ego, we get something, it's to be put together, I'll tell you how it works. We just go right at it, boom, 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 boom. And then when we realize, oh, this isn't as easy as I thought it'd be, what's this part, where's that go? When all else fails, read the instructions. Material life and its complexities are so daunting and are the source of such unlimited anxiety and misery, we, if we care about our highest self-interest and want to become free from anxiety, have to accept the authority of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to let it change our heart. Change our lives into that of an eternal servant of Krishna. Now, I'm going to center on, for the most part, if I am successful, on the senses and the sense objects. The senses, manastastani, indriyani, prakritistani, karshati. The mind and the senses cause a lot of trouble to everyone, to every conditioned soul. We are struggling so hard because of this mind and the senses. What are the mind and senses doing? The mind has two aspects to it. Let me accept something or let me reject it. I am hankering for something, I'm lamenting I didn't get it, or now it's slipped through my fingers in time, or someone else has taken it away. Or as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, it has two departments. One that is dealing with desire, and the other with anger. Because frustration leads to anger. Being a devotee, one becomes very observant of the Lord's creation. And when you look at the conditioned souls in human life, and you see them get older and older, it is not uncommon in their ignorance, when they don't know about Krishna, when they're not serving Krishna, they become more bitter, angry, and frustrated. Have you ever seen old people so dried up and have the scowl on their face? I see it all the time in America. All the time. Because the wheel of time, the laws of material nature, believe in them or not, they have you in your grasp. They have you in their grasp. Material nature, Maya Devi, we're in her kingdom. This is the prison. This is the prison camp where all the wayward, envious, conditioned souls are put. And we're given a body to enact our illicit, envious desires. Let me enjoy, let me control, not Krishna. And these senses are the instruments whereby we're latching out of anything and everything that we think we like. If we don't like it, we immediately reject it. But it's not the business of devotees, those who are mature transcendentalists, to accept anything of this world as our own or to reject it. Either way is a misunderstanding. Everything belongs to Krishna. This verse has said so. He created it. Of course he owns it. Its purpose is for his pleasure, not mine. Anyone who takes from the Lord and doesn't at least express some gratitude, what to speak of using it in the service of the Lord, then you're a thief. And to foolishly think it's mine to renounce, because the senses cause such trouble. And the Buddhists and the impersonalists or the Mayavadis, they will say we have to become free from desire. We have to stop the activities of the senses and the mind. Yeah, how's that working out? If one has been a naughty boy and he's told to go stand in the corner, do you think standing in the corner is going to make the boy happy or even rectify his naughty behavior? Or you work so hard like a dog, like a donkey, for a boss who doesn't care, gives you as little as he can get away with, and then you get a vacation. Oh, finally, the relief. I don't have to work so hard. First day or two, you're going to just lie back, do nothing. You're so happy to be just chilling, as we say in the West. But then very soon, what happens? You have desire. You have to become active. You can't become free from the fear, the anxieties, and the sufferings of this world by trying to artificially just stopping desire and the activities of the senses. Everything we do in this world, including transcendentalists, is for achieving pleasure. That is the nature of the spirit soul. We are full of pleasure by nature, eternally, ever increasingly. But being covered by this gross material body, that pleasure gets reflected through the senses and the mind, and it gets perverted and soured. And we take happiness to be something fleeting, a temporary cessation of the pain that we constantly experience in this world. But pleasure is our motivation. But we don't recognize these senses don't belong to us. The objects don't belong to us. They're Krishna's. If we will use them in Krishna's service, that is the way we overcome their victimization. If we can do that which pleases Krishna, then we become unlimitedly happy. When Krishna is happy, everyone becomes happy with your endeavors to please him. It is really so very simple. Just try to please Krishna. The definition of bhakti, one of them that's given, is sarvapadi vinirmuktam tvartvaina nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakta uchite. The owner, the master of the senses, is to be served with these very senses. As inept, as dull, as limited as they are, under proper guidance of guru and Vaishnavas, following the instruction manual of the scripture, one can serve Krishna. One can worship Krishna. One can be happy, be gradually reinstated, reawakened to our natural identity of eternal servant of Krishna. And when you engage in the service of Krishna with these senses, under proper guidance, and we can't overestimate or over-emphasize this point, it can't be speculative. It can't be sentimental. It can't be selfish if we truly want to please Krishna. Krishna is pleased when one offers himself, his love, at his lotus feet. And love is not what we commonly understand it in this world. If you scratch my back, I love you, and I will scratch yours. But love is exhibited, is experienced when the living entity is serving Krishna without any personal desire. Just, I want to please Krishna. I want to please the servants of Krishna. And even though it sounds so bizarre for one who's not familiar with this science, you enjoy the happiness you're looking for when you try to simply give it to Krishna. He then rewards us and makes us fully satisfied. So satisfied that nothing of this world could tempt one to be distracted from the service of the Lord and His devotees. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was such a good wordsmith. He said, none of the horses or elephants or gold or jewels or men or women or positions and fame of this world can distract one who has tasted the pleasure of surrendering completely and serving the Lord out of love. As Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, once having gained this, you understand there is no greater gain and you never forsake it, even in the most trying of circumstances. And there are certainly plenty of trying circumstances in this world. That is the service Maya Devi has to her master Krishna. Make them suffer to such an extent that they will be brought to their knees to recognize, I can't enjoy. I am not the enjoyer. I'm not the controller. Make them begin to be inquisitive. Distress it tends to have its effect like that on a pious, fortunate, conditioned soul. You begin to ask, how can I really become free of suffering? Everybody's given so many solutions. They offer another variety of a dangling carrot of sense gratification or a post-dated check. But nobody, anywhere, at any time throughout the entire universe has been happy by the activities of sense gratification. Trying to achieve pleasure through these senses and the sense objects. What to speak of? Nobody anywhere in the material universe, anytime, any place, has become liberated, completely free of the miseries by the activities of fruitive activities or sense gratification. But everybody who has achieved shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, developed love and devotion for Him, becoming free of miseries is just a tiny little side benefit. Just like we said, sarvapadi vinirmuktam tat partvaina nirmalam. These senses, they become purified in the service of the Lord. And sarvapadi vinirmuktam, the upadi, the identification with this body, becomes overcome. It becomes left behind. Burned to ashes by the mercy of Guru and Krishna and the potency of devotional service. We touched on these topics a little bit. Devotional service is nothing but endeavoring to please Guru, Vaishnavas, and Krishna. understanding that's all I can do is desire, and everything else is granted by the mercy of Krishna. He controls my senses, he controls my mind, he controls everything of this world, every one of this world. And if we are graced by his mercy and his protection, then we can be allowed through the agency of his servant, his devotees, to actually please him, to develop an intimate relationship with him. We simply have to desire. But the quality of that desire is so very, very important. We've all been practicing Krishna consciousness for some period of time. We all hear the glorifications of the holy name, that simply chanting once is enough to get liberation. That within the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is love of God, is the gift of the reawakening of Krishna praying that is within each and every one of our hearts. Lord Chaitanya is freely distributing it. But if we ask ourselves, and if we're honest, we might have to say, I haven't got it yet. I haven't tasted it yet. I'm still being whipped by these six tribulations. My mind still agitates me. What's the deal? Is the scripture exaggerating? The fifth offense is consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna imagination. It's not imagination. It's a science. Bhakti yoga, devotional service. It's a science taught by one who knows that science, who has realized it. When you have the guidance, the shelter of a representative of the Lord, a pure devotee, an unalloyed lover of the Lord, you can very easily learn this science. Well, so many of us have. In fact, every one of us have the guidance, shelter of Srila Prabhupada through his Vani. But we still may not be receiving that precious gift that's being offered. Does that mean that the science is useless? That it's just another dangling carrot? No. Misuse of a science doesn't make science useless. Albert Einstein, who was simply just a brilliant speculator, an intelligent gyani, he understood that it is the most peculiar thing to think that one will get a different result when he tries to do the same thing again, 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 and again. Now all of us are chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every morning, hopefully you're chanting 16 rounds minimum. And yet we find the need. It's somewhat of a new development in our movement in the last few years. We find a need for seminars, how to chant properly, how to get the gift that's being offered in the holy names by Srila Prabhupada and his representatives. And they give you different techniques, they give you different meditational aids to come down to the most basic principle that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Simply hear the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant, using the lips and the tongue, where one forms the 32 syllables of the 16 names of Radha and Krishna. So you can hear, when done properly, the nectar enters the ears and it goes to the heart, it enters the mind, it conquers the mind and senses because of the overwhelming pleasure of pleasing Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. But I don't taste it. I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction for the holy names. Why? We're doing something wrong. It's so simple. What is it? Why is the mercy not descending as we hope it will? How badly do we really want to please Krishna? We have to ask ourselves. To become a winner of a gold medal in the Olympics, which in actuality is just something so insignificant, useless, if not done in the glorification of the Lord for his pleasure. It's like you can become as fast as an antelope. Why take the austerity it takes to train to become the best in the world? Just maintain the same desire and you can take birth after leaving this human form in an antelope body. But do you think to win a gold medal that you can just passively think, I want to win a gold medal? You have to make that the most important desire in your life. You have to be able to, you have to want to sacrifice anything and everything, whatever it takes. You have to be able to perform any austerity, no matter how unpleasant, to practice, so that one can become qualified to win the gold medal. And we're talking about receiving love of God. How badly do we want to be a servant that actually can please Krishna? If we've got other desires in mind, and most all of us did come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada enticed us. He said, chant and be happy. Chant and make your life sublime. I thought when I joined, all the devotees were pure devotees, and I'd be a pure devotee real quickly. And then guess what? A few months later, I was convinced. I am a pure devotee. No one ever thought that? Am I the only idiot in the crowd? Well, by Krishna's grace, very quickly, I began to see, oh, wow. I guess I'm not a pure devotee. This material mind is a merciless master, and even though I've renounced these things of sense gratification, I'm still being drawn by the thought that there's pleasure to be had there. And this is the problem. That we still believe Maya. Has she ever given us a check? Has she ever cashed the check? Have we ever been pleased by service to her? No. But yet we're afraid to surrender to Krishna, thinking somehow or other we'll be cheated or we'll suffer. No one loses surrendering to Krishna. No one has ever been cheated out of the unlimited privilege of lovingly serve Krishna when they really, really wanted it and got it. We have to become beggars for the holy name. We have to become beggars for the mercy of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. We have to realize. Now, if you are rich, it's not so easy to humbly submit yourself before others and say, would you please give me some money? Not very easy. But you see the women who have no home, and some men who have no home, who have no one to provide for them, who have nothing but a grace, Ganga water, you know, stained sari on their back, and a begging bowl and a little plastic bag with a few little things. They can beg to the Lord because they understand that they're completely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he would sign his letter sometimes, Akinchana Bhaktisiddhanta. He considered himself a beggar. And to be a beggar, you have to be humble. You have to be beaten. You have to realize that I am so unimportant and so insignificant. Not that I'm such an advanced devotee. People are even telling me I'm an advanced devotee. They're appreciating, oh, you inspire me. You're so advanced. No, we're nothing. Any good qualification we have is simply the mercy of Guru, Vaishnavas, and Gauranga. We can only desire. We can only get out of the way and try to become a transparent medium for serving and pleasing Krishna. But you can't do that when we're holding on and hedging our bets. The purpose we came to Krishna consciousness to become free of distress or to accumulate some wealth or some well-being. I saw two young bhaktas downstairs about half an hour ago. and there's this slick, shiny, black motorcycle down there with the name on the gas tank, Glamour. And these boys were looking at it like they were stroking something priceless. And they were holding the gas throttle. And they were just, it was just so obvious, they were so attractive. And I walked by and I said, oh boy, wouldn't you like to have one of those? Hey, what are you laughing about? I can serve Krishna better if I got a Glamour motorcycle. In America, I've had policemen tell me, they call them suicide bikes. I've seen people on the side of the road so mangled, having been thrown the farthest distance because they were on two wheels with a seat on it, going over 100 miles an hour, thinking they were enjoying. They were the controller. They were king of the world. Till they ran into a telephone pole, another car. Whatever reason brought us to Krishna consciousness, I've heard Janani Vasprabhu quote another devotee, at some point we have to give it up. If we're holding on to these things, how can Krishna give us the most priceless jewel? We're holding on thinking this is precious. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, our original identification, our material identification, please forgive me for that mistake. Our material identification creates three kinds of urges. The urges to speak, the urge or demands of the mind, and the demands of the body. Tongue, belly, and genitals. Everybody knows the verse. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udrakasta vegam. Unless you control those senses by engaging them in the service of the Lord, you will never become free from anxiety, what to speak of being able to help others become happy and free of anxiety. We were talking about this lingering identification with the body. Is it necessary to realize that we're the eternal servant of Krishna? Not this body, eternal spirit soul, servant of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes, and I thank Janani Vasprabhu again for this, because he pointed it out in this purport of 241, Vyavasakapnaya Budhir. Srila Prabhupada's words, he says, the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. Fast forwarding down to the last paragraph. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body. Not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. I don't want to be misunderstood. Prabhupada will accept our sincere attempts to please him, even those mixed with fruitive desires. He is an ocean of mercy. An ocean of mercy. Like a swan, he takes the sincerity, the purity, and he rejects the impurities. And he offers that to the feet of his spiritual master, who offers it to his guru, who offers it to his guru, on up to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Our service is being recognized and being appreciated. It's being accepted when done under the instruction of the spiritual master. We don't have to be pure devotees. We don't have to realize we're not the body to try our best to please Krishna. But oh my goodness, I am trying to emphasize in this short period of time, it is so much more conducive to pleasing Guru and Krishna when we get over those speed bumps of identifying with the body. And how are we ever going to give up identifying with the body if we foolishly cling on to some thought that there's something that will make us happy in this world. Well, I'll give one hand to Krishna to accept his blessings. No, we have to let go of everything and raise our hands so that the mercy can come down. We have to cry for the mercy, beg for the mercy. It's not my sentimental type of exhibition and cheating that I've so often engaged in. No, from the heart we have to realize we are so helpless and so insignificant. And we have to be happy when we see others making advancement in devotional service. If we are non-envious like that, then we can appreciate purity in others. And we can take advantage of the advanced association in our midst. They are desiring. There are those who simply desire to please Krishna. There are those who are simply pleasing Krishna. If we are begging for the ability to find such association and to serve them simply for their pleasure, that is so conducive with the Guru wanting to give us this byproduct. Okay, let me help you understand you're not the body. Your material desires are simply a desire for poison. He can give us the realization so very easily. He wants to give us the realization. The spiritual master never cheats anyone who surrenders life and soul at his lotus feet. Not I'm saved like a Christian says. When I was 12 years old, I got dunked in the water and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That was the tape recorder of the time. Not that I was initiated in 1974 and I was saved by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And now I'm getting to ride on the comfortable wave of that, because everybody recognizes, oh, he's so senior, he's so advanced, this and that. No, surrender is a constant, constant endeavor desiring to please Guru and Krishna. Every day, Dayam Stivam Tashaya Shastri Sanya, we have to be meditating on the spiritual master and wanting to please him every hour, every minute, every moment. We should aspire for that. The prayer is in there. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be filled with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up? And when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks, when will I run around guilelessly chanting the names of Nittai Gauranga on the banks of the Ganges, not caring what anybody thinks or sees? Why do they pray like this? Because those are symptoms that one is at the verge, is the blossom of one's love is beginning to open up. The flower is beginning to blossom. We don't want that for our selfish enjoyment. It's a razor's edge. Maya is so good. She doesn't tempt us with the things we don't want. She tempts us with the things we do want. And she gives this to us in her service to divert us from surrendering. I just want to please Guru and Krishna. I just want to serve the servants of my Guru. The servants of Krishna. We have to, at some point, come to that state of realizing, how long will I bang my head against the wall trying to take Maya's shelter and her illusory promise of happiness? It's gone. It's done. It's finished. We have to make that resolution and continually make that resolution again and again and again. And by the grace of Guru, one day it'll become steady. It'll become realized. I'm going to read 9 items or qualifications of the disciple and wrap it up pretty quickly after that. Because engaging the senses in the Lord's service for His pleasure is the secret of happiness and freedom of misery. But you have to be fully trained. Prabhupada says that. You have to be fully trained by the spiritual master to get shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna and to always hold those lotus feet within your mind. So here are 9 qualifications that Krishna himself shares with Uddhava in the 11th canto. He says the disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige. Count these, and I'm going to ask a question afterwards. Which one of these do you think is the most important qualification of the disciple? So listen attentively, please. You should be free from false prestige. You should never consider yourself to be the doer. You should be active and never lazy. You should give up all sense of proprietorship over the objects of the senses, including your wife, children, home, and society. You should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship toward the spiritual master and should never become deviated or bewildered. The disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, and you should never envy anyone and should avoid useless conversation. 9 qualifications we should be aware of and aspiring to develop. Out of those 9 qualifications, which do you think is the most important? Which one do you say, Pablo? The first one. One should be free from false prestige. Anybody agree with them as the most important quality of the 9? Okay. Anybody else have any ideas? Don't be shy. This is actually the discussion and question period. Number 2, never consider oneself to be the doer. Anybody want to consider that most important? Any other thoughts?
Not the thought.
I'm sorry?
Mind. Not the thought.
Not the type. That wasn't in there, but okay. Anybody want to say that's the most important thing of a disciple? We know, of course, this Prabhu means we should always talk about Krishna Katha. That's silence of the mundane vibration of tongue. What about him? One should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship toward the spiritual master. I'm going to cast my vote with that one, and I'll share my thoughts on the matter. If we love our spiritual master, my spiritual master, Dikshin Siksha Srila Prabhupada, I have other Siksha gurus, but he is my Lord and Master. If I love him, I will never want to disobey him. I will never want to displease him. To the degree we have a loving, intimate, personal relationship, which all of you had the opportunity of, and I'm sure you are aware of, I'm an offender to even imply you might not have an intimate relationship of servant to Srila Prabhupada. But to the degree we have love, what to speak of intimacy, friend meaning he orders, I obey. He says jump, I ask how high. Or even better, understanding his mood and mission, I want to make that my life's goal. My life's mission. He doesn't have to say anymore, I understand the mind of the spiritual master, what he is, what he wants. He said it all in his books. I've heard it all. Am I ready to let those words change my life? Where I dedicate myself to the spiritual master. If you do that, just like in the 26 qualities of a devotee, Srila Prabhupada says the most important one is exclusive surrender or devotion to Krishna. If you have that, then automatically everything else can manifest by his mercy. If you have love and surrender at the lotus feet of your spiritual master by his mercy, everything else can unfold. Those are my thoughts on the matter. But I don't love my guru. I cling on to the material conception of life. I don't hear, I read. I intellectualize. Wax is in my ears, a material attachment. My mind is sorting through accepting and rejecting what I like and what I don't like. I am trying to bring the message of my Paramahamsa spiritual master down to my level of understanding. I'm trying to simply take that which I can do and be comfortable with and not be made uncomfortable by the pinching words of the spiritual master saying, you have so much more potential within you. Surrender and realize it. If I have met so many disciples of his, of Gaura Govinda Maharaj, and whenever I've said you're so fortunate to have such a wonderful spiritual master, to be a disciple of such a wonderful spiritual master, up until this day, without exception, they've all said, I only wish I was the disciple of his divine grace, Gaura Govinda Maharaj. They always tell me that I'm not a qualified disciple. And that is the qualification. When one remains a fool, those are words that we're familiar with and comfortable with. If we remain a fool before our spiritual master, he can mold us as he wishes. I'm not a qualified disciple. I'm so arrogant, I think I'm an insignificant disciple of my spiritual master. These Prabhus set such a nice example of humility and surrender to chastity to their guru. Oh, I would have never thought that in the years that have gone by, back in the 70s when Prabhupada was here, I would have never thought that people would leave the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. It was incomprehensible. To become unchaste and look for another shelter or guide who's not representing Srila Prabhupada, how could you imagine such a thing? Those who do, did they really have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada? I'm referring to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's words where he said to disciples of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, "You never knew Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You never heard the Thakur. You never saw him." If we have, then we become 100% surrendered. There's no other alternative because they are such merciful masters, full of compassion. No one loves us as much as the true representative of Krishna. No one comes close. Or just a little bit slighter variant of that same disease is if we hold on and don't surrender fully to Guru. Our love is not matured. Our relationship is, and we're the one holding back. He never cheats, but we can cheat ourselves. Prabhupada said, "If you don't follow my instructions, what can I do?" So we have to hear in the humble, submissive mood, realizing we're worthless and insignificant. We have to hear. And if we hear, actually hear, then everything else takes place. Chaitodarpanamarjana. We don't need the seminars. We don't need the constant struggle with the mind. The spiritual master will endow us with these gifts. There's such transcendental potency in the words and following the instructions of the spiritual master. And that's what all of us should be praying for. Srila Prabhupada ki. I open the floor for corrections, chastisements, questions. Yes, Padmamo Champrabhu. Is there a microphone? Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't you love it when material energy cooperates?
Yes. If a devotee follows the instruction of his spiritual master and his instructions all through his life, but it doesn't develop love of God.
His whole life but he
doesn't develop prema,
yeah,
love for Krishna. Would he go back to Godhead, or is truly necessary to develop?
I'm so glad you asked that question, because if that was the impression I gave, I fall at your feet and I apologize. No, we don't have to develop love of Godhead in this life. We simply have to do what you said, surrender to the instructions of the spiritual master and make them, and follow them to the best of our ability. We want to please him. Prabhupada said, if you follow the instructions of the spiritual master, you are traversing the path back home to Godhead. Just don't let go of his hand. He's taking us back to Godhead. We're actually already there, but we don't realize it. If we're engaged in devotional service, that is the kingdom of God. If we're under the shelter of a pure Vaishnava, representative of Krishna, we're in the spiritual world. We just haven't realized it, and that's why we need to pray harder. That's We're perfectly situated. We just want to realize it so that we don't get so disturbed and distracted. That would be my response. Would you agree, Janani Vatsprabhu? Thank you. He nods his head. Nityananda Prabhu.
I understand.
You have to speak a little louder because that's a soft mic.
We used to hear that they said that like a son shall simply be alive to get the father's properties.
Ah.
The son shall simply stay alive to get the father's property. I used to think that bhakti or love of God is our birthright as a jiva. Krishna is our father. So why do we have to struggle and practice and so many things to get love of God? Isn't it our birthright?
Did everybody hear the question? Why do we have to struggle so hard to get love of God in if it's our natural birthright? It's stated in by Lord Brahma, the son simply has to stay alive to inherit all the riches of his father. That's the purport of that verse. Remain grateful for whatever one experiences by the blessings of the Lord and offer one's body, mind, and words to the service of Guru and Krishna for his pleasure. If we do that, automatically we inherit love of Godhead. So, why is it so difficult to get the love of Godhead? It's our natural birthright. Two things come to mind. First of all, it's not cheap. Lord Chaitanya is making the most priceless treasure easily available, but it's not cheap. You have to want it. We have to want it more than anything. We're not getting it. I'm emphasizing what's from our side. In this class, most of the emphasis is on what we need to do, which is get our desires straight, properly situated in our desire. We don't really want it if we're holding on to other desires and attachments. Not really. We do, but we don't. That's not real desire. That's not the mood of the inhabitants of the spiritual world, not to speak of Vrindavan. They simply and only want to please Krishna. Anything else would be a disturbance to the spiritual atmosphere. But when we show we want it, it's not that, like Narada Muni, he wanted it more than anything. He got the association of the Bhaktivedantas. He heard from them for 4 months. He served them to the best of his ability. And once they let him honor the remnants of their Mahapashad. And he got the darshan of Krishna. He saw him. But then Krishna said, I'm not going to let you see me anymore this life. Your intensity of desire for the rest of this life will purify your desire, will allow your love to fructify, and next life you can serve me uninterrupted in love of Godhead under the shelter of my lotus feet. So that which we really want, the separation period, Viparlamba is the highest level of full surrender to Radha and Krishna according to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So as the song says, it don't come easy. You got to pay your dues if you want to sing the mantra. And in response, I always say this if it's appropriate. When Padmalochan Prabhu asked, do we have to have love of Godhead to go back to Godhead? Actually, we do. Everyone in the kingdom of God has love of Godhead. But Prabhupada in the 10th canto in his purport says that one, upon leaving this body, by the grace of Guru, can be taken to the manifest pastimes of the Lord, and there being born in the association of unalloyed devotees, the Damvasis, the Brajvasis, the Navadvip Damvasis, then one's love becomes fully manifest. And then after that short period of serving Krishna in his manifest lila, then you can go to Goloka Vrindavan. And the Sadaka Gopis were an example of that. They were born in the village of Raj. They wanted to serve Krishna in his Rasa Leela, but their love had not completely, fully manifest, and so Krishna withheld it. Just a little bit longer, and that fire of intense longing, the distress of not getting to serve Krishna, completely purified any impurities that they had. So Krishna is very, very expert in loving, and he knows. I just can't touch you on the head. You won't appreciate. So accept it as his grace. Graciously, and continue to want it and do what you're doing, glorifying the Lord, encouraging others to glorify the Lord. Have no doubt, be rest assured, it's just a matter of time, and it won't be long. As Prabhupada said, just give this one life to Krishna. Just one, and go back home to God. Anything else? Padma? I want to beg forgiveness for my offenses. I do leave tomorrow. Your association is so precious. It's so dear to me, all of you. If for no other reason, the congregational chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord. And I ask that if every once in a while you would think kindly upon me and my family, just say a prayer to the Lord or the spiritual master. Maybe by your grace I'll be allowed to come again. Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Samaveda Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. Urvindana.